Greetings and welcome to another edition of the FBL Dilemma for a Football Addict, the official podcast for the football addicts community. So I was talking to some friends of mine in the community, and they suggested I should advertise and plug the group, the Football Addicts community, some more. So I thought I'd do that now. We are a small community based on Facebook, and if you are interested in football and things related, then definitely go and check us out. Look us up on Facebook if you haven't done so already, and join the group. So anyway, this podcast is it's a bit of a request from my friend Dean, who's a Football Addict member, and he asked a question that concerned the FPL team structure. Now, there's two ways to go about it, or there's three ways to go about it. The big debate in the group, well, not a big debate, but something that's pretty interesting and piqued my interest today, was whether you should choose the 3-4-3 formation or the 3-5-2 formation. So in the first formation, you pick three defenders, four midfielders, and three attackers, and you primarily stick with that structure throughout the season, and you'll bench a fifth midfielder for the majority of the time. That's my preference. Dean asked me a question, and the question was, is the 3-5-2 formation the way to go this season with all the value in the midfield and with some really good budget options for the third striker, being Richard Deeney, could be wrong, someone Deeney from Watford coming in at 5.5, and Callum Wilson from Bournemouth also coming in at 5.5. Excuse me, I'm quite ill, but it doesn't stop me from recording these pods because they're so good. So in the 3-5-2 formation, I'm assuming that Dean would probably rotate the fifth midfielder and the third striker, which in theory, ideally, seems pretty cool. And it is pretty cool. I tried to do it 3 seasons ago, I think, and it actually worked for me. I got pretty lucky, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. So I'm gonna give myself a 20-minute limit for this pod, so I'll try and get through this. So yeah, as I said, for first and foremost, I probably don't have a really strong disposition in this argument. For me personally, I will be starting with a 3-4-3 structure with the defense rotation, but that could change. This season I won't be rotating the fifth midfielder and my third striker. I've tried this, as I said, I've tried this before, and it sort of worked, but it kind of didn't. I think so before it did. I suppose it probably did work. I think I had Sean Maloney and Danny. I think it was Danny Graham a few seasons ago. Graham was hopeless in the season. I think that's why it probably didn't work. If I had a better third striker, it may have worked a bit better. And because of this rotation, I was really trying to make it work. I actually wasn't trading Danny Graham out, and it killed me really in these first stages of the FPL season. I mean, Sean Maloney was really good. There were a few times where I had benched him, I think, and he had scored really well, and I think I was playing him away, and I'd played Danny Graham, and he wasn't doing anything. So there are some good reasons this season to go for 3-5-2, I think for those reasons, it almost seems like they're a bit contradictory as well. But so anyway, there's a couple of reasons. I've got four or five main reasons why I think the 3-4-3 is still the best way to go. So the first one is being that traditionally 3-4-3 is the way to go. History suggests that this is the best formation and it should always be the best formation. I mean, because primarily your strikers are going to score the most points, generally. You know, also that we're led to believe. I don't have any data to back this up. Even if you were to pick up a really good budget striker, I would really warn you not to bench him. I think if you are going to bench, if the budget striker that you find, it's going to drive you crazy. I mean, benching budget strikers automatically brings up, you know, nightmares of, you know, fantasy players benching Harry Kane last season against Chelsea. All the good budget strikers this season, and I think with any season really, they have the potential to score against anyone. Your strikers have the potential to exploit any game, and if you are going to pick the 5.5 striker like Callum Wilson or Deeney from Watford or, you know, Bojan from Stoke, I'll be playing them pretty well every game. And anyway, for me personally, I think there is better value if you shave another million from somewhere, like whether from midfield or defenders, and spend it there. I mean, let's face it, Wilson and Deeney, I mean, they're not Premier League tested yet. I know there's been some strikers that have come up and been successful, and that's fine, but they aren't Premier League tested yet. I think if Charlie Austin didn't do as well as he did last season, I don't think Callum Wilson and this Deeney fellow would have as much hype surrounded in him in the fantasy communities. I remember the start of last season when QPR come up, and then as soon as the name Charlie Austin come up, like, you're just laughed off the park. I think if Charlie Austin didn't go as well, these guys wouldn't be as talked about as much. So, as I said, there are some good budget strikers around, and, you know, if you want to go 3-5-2 and you're going to be benching a budget striker, I don't think that's the way to go. If you want to rotate your third striker and your fifth midfielder, then maybe that might be the way to go, but you're going to be benching points. I can pretty well guarantee you that. And as I said, for me, just get an extra million up or extra million and a half and upgrade him to someone else. Anyway, so that's the first point, that 3-4-3 is the way to go traditionally. Okay, so let's move on to the next point, point two. I've only ever considered using 3-5-2 once, and this was a few seasons ago. You would probably have heard of the Power Five. I can't actually remember who each of the five midfielders were. I believe Fellaini, Mata, Hazard, and I can't remember the other two. Oh, one would have been Michu from Swansea, and I can't remember the fifth one. I think it was in the 2012-13 season. And yeah, that's when it was in vogue, I'm pretty sure. I didn't actually, as I said, I just considered it. I didn't actually go for it. I kept faith in Ricky Lambert as my third striker and played him every game. And he did well. He kept scoring points. That was actually the season I finished 39th overall. So there you go. So this, in the season that I sort of considered playing the 3-5-2, I didn't. That was my best performing season. And apart from that, I've never considered going big five in midfield. Cool, so let's transition on to the next point. Point three, midfielders generally aren't as explosive. That sounds a bit, like, silly, because, you know, we all know midfielders can be explosive. But, yeah, it's kind of misleading at that point, but I'll get to it now. So, if you look at total points scored from both the top five midfielders and the top five strikers, I think you'll see that midfielders, I mean, they might have scored more points. The top five scoring strikers scored 854 points, whereas the top five scoring midfielders actually scored 962 points. Well, I guess the question would be whether this could be evidence, you know, is it time? And this is data from last season. Is it time to move on to 3-5-2 because of that? Especially with all the value in the 8.5 midfielder bracket. If you look a little deeper last season, it was actually a pretty strange season for big hitter strikers, you know, who would normally be expected to score more points. And I think that's why there's been this funny little thing in the top five striker midfielder points. I think some of the circumstances that have contributed to this trend include Diego Costa. Harry Kane was a funny one, and especially Wayne Rooney. Yeah, so anyway, so Costa, who came in second behind Sergio Aguero with 150 points, spent so much time on the sidelines, and Harry Kane actually only played 2,500 minutes. I think you will find if they had both played similar minutes to the other top five midfielders, they would have definitely scored more. Harry Kane wasn't nailed on for the first half of the season, I'm pretty sure, when the first manager was there. Pochettino was there the whole season this season, wasn't he? Yes, he was. Anyway, so yeah, he wasn't nailed on the first half. I think Adebayor was getting games, and they were trying to bleed someone else as well. I can't remember. Anyway, so Cazorla, Silva, Hazard and Fabregas all played at least 300 to 400 minutes more than Kane and Costa. And the other one's also Rooney, who is usually a top three scoring striker come game week 38. Where he actually spent a fair chunk of time, I'm not sure much exactly, but I know it was a lot, playing really deep when the United midfield were going through, not just unique to the midfield, but the entire team was going through those little injury crises, and they just were really struggling to get players in certain positions. Van Gaal was forced to play Rooney deep. And I think it's expected at this current moment that he will be playing in a more conventional striking role. The positional hurdle, I think, definitely hindered Rooney's scoring last season. It's pretty obvious. And it's looking like this shouldn't occur this season, with Louis van Gaal signing both Bastian Schweinsteiger and Morgan Schneiderlin, two really solid, deeper central midfielders. So with these statistical cues in minutes and points, I thought it might be actually worth looking at points per minute and see which position comes out on top. It's a funny little average stat. I mean, I think a lot of people do the points per game, but they didn't, just on the data at hand on the FPL website, they didn't actually have the amount of games they played, or I couldn't find it. Anyway, and I didn't have time to go and look for that data, so I just had points divided per minute. I think this might be a more accurate reflection. So I just looked at the top three performing midfielders and strikers. So let's look at the midfielders first. Yeah, I think this would be a more accurate reflection on which position is worth investing more money in, as opposed to just the total points. So let's look at midfielders. We've got Hazard comes in at scoring 0.069 points per minute. Alexis Sanchez from Arsenal comes in at 0.07 points per minute, so he's performed a little better than Hazard. David Silva came in at 0.072 points per minute, so that's pretty impressive. So the average for the top three midfield scores were 0.07 points per minute. Now, let's look at the strikers. We've got Aguero, who came in at 0.085 points per minute. That's really impressive. Harry Kane, 0.074 points per minute. And Diego Costa coming in at 0.072 points per minute. So they work out an average of 0.077 points per minute. So this is a pretty, very, pretty basic and a small sample size, but it gives you some insight into the underperformance, in my opinion, of strikers last season. Cool, so that's point three. Let's move on to point four. I quite like a particular 4.5 million player, and that's Ikechi Anya. And I'm also considering spending possibly an extra 0.5 in the fifth midfielder, because I think there's some pretty good value in that bracket, the 5.0 million bracket midfielder as well. As I said, I like Ikechi Anya a lot. So I probably will just go for him. I think he's a great option. For me, I would never pay more than 5 for a fifth midfielder. I spent 4.5 on Arfield from Burnley last season. The last time I spent 5.0 on a midfielder was Kimbo Kyung from Cardiff, and he was a bit of a letdown. But the previous season to that, I actually spent 5 million on Maloney, and he was very handy. I can't remember the amount of times he came on as an auto emergency, but at times he was really decent. So let's look at potential fifth midfield players coming from both the 4.5 million and 5 million bracket. So from the 5 million bracket, we've got Scott Sinclair from Aston Villa. I think he will play. I think he will beat Nzogbia into one of those advanced midfield slots. He was looking really good before he got injured, just before the Aston Villa double game week last season. We've got Joshua King, who's playing pretty well in pre-season at the moment. We've got Mark Albrighton. We all know what he can do, but it's a nailed-on-ness case with him. It just depends what happens with the new manager, Claudio Ranieri. I think the fact that he's called the Tinkerman and people are scared of him rotating, whereas I think Sky Sports have quoted him saying that he's not going to tinker as much. So I like Mark Albrighton as a five midfield option. I think he's good value. I like Wes Houlihan from Norwich, premiership proven. I like Alan Abdi, big raps in the sky from the Watford fans. There's three midfielders from West Brom that have been totally overlooked. Got James Morrison, Steve McManaman, and Morgan Amalfitano. If West Brom, I'm not going to get these guys in, but they're just worth to consider, and no one's talking about them. If West Brom decide to do anything in terms of attacking intent, these guys might be worth a look. I'm also looking at Serge Gnabry from Arsenal if he gets his move, a loan move away from Arsenal to a Premier League team. I was reading that West Brom were after him and looking at a 1 year loan deal. And the reason I like him is because he's actually in Mesut Ozil's like top first 11 players, his favourite first 11 players. So that's saying something. So that's why I like him. And these are the players from the 5 million, from the 4, sorry, the 4.5 million bracket that I like. I like Akechi Anya. I think there's a lot to like about this guy. He's really the only player that I like in the 4.5 bracket. I think he has the potential to score a steady stream of assists. If you look at his assist stats from last season, you'll find that in the last 5 games of the championship season, he scored 3 assists. So I think he's going to have clumps there where he'll score a few. I think people are a bit concerned he might play left back. I'm assuming that Watford have signed the Greek, or the German-born Greek left back, Jose Holabas, I think that's how you pronounce it. I believe he'll play left back there because he's a good left back, and Anya will be pushed up more advanced. I think he had that advanced left wing spot pretty well nailed on the back end of last season, and from what I can tell, he had a good season playing in the more advanced position. I could be wrong, but I think his main competition for the spot was Daniel Tosar, and he's left the club, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm no Watford expert, but Anya is looking pretty decent for an advanced spot. He also just scored a goal in preseason. He scored a volley. Apparently, it was really good. So it's all looking pretty promising in my opinion. And even if he has to play left back, I won't be too concerned. I think he's just got as much chance of getting attacking returns playing there than any of the deep lying midfielders anyway on offer at 4.5 million. His ownership's quite low, so you won't have to worry about losing value on him as well because of fantasy players trading him out. I'd also probably consider Andrew Sermon, but I like Anya because he also received the Scotland Player of the Year award, so that's really good. So the fact that I like Anya so much is another reason why I like 3-4-3, because I'm happy just to bench him. He's only 4.5. He might not start every game. I think he actually came on as a sub 8 times last season. So that's 8 times out of, I'm not sure how many matches they're playing the championship. It's like, is it 40-something? I don't know. I think he's good for some points as the order emergency as well. So anyway, the last reason why I'm advocating 3-4-3 is basically because of Diafra Sakho. I think he's the best value striker this season. I think he's nailed on. I think, you know, he ticks all the boxes. At 6.5, you can't go wrong. And you can play him every week. I don't think there's too much else to say on this one. So yeah, so that's me for today, or for this evening. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to go 3-5-2, you know, that's really good. It's good to be brave at times like this. I mean, you may as well. It's only the start of the season. But for me, 3-5-2, it just doesn't seem right. It doesn't look right when I see it on my homepage. So anyway, so that's me. Thanks for listening. Catch ya.